Right, yeah. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 6, looking at the first 15 verses, John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked and saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew himself again to a mountain by himself. Lord Jesus, we thank you that little becomes much when placed in your hand. And as we examine this passage today, we ask that you would speak to us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's wonderful if you had been here for our Bible school this week. One of the things that a couple of our congregants have a gift for is actually getting free stuff. And from Rockland Bakery to potato chips, over 252 bags of potato chips, dozens of hot dog and hamburger rolls, free hamburgers, free ice cream sandwiches, you name it. We've got among us, not Jesus, although he had Jesus up here fighting with Satan, but somehow they are able to multiply not loaves and fishes, but letters and requests into something that allows many to be fed and blessed. There's a story that's told about a young man named Jeff, and he learned one Sunday morning that his church was going to have a picnic that afternoon, and he wanted to go. So he hurried home from church to pack his lunch and then go to the picnic grounds, but lo and behold, he opened the refrigerator door and discovered that there was only a single piece of dried up bologna and 2 stale pieces of bread, and one of them was a heel. To make things worse, there was barely enough mustard of any color to just even coat his knuckles when he tried to scrape the bottom of the jar, but he made a sandwich nonetheless. Wrapped it in wax paper and placed it in a large paper bag so it would look like he had a lot to bring to the picnic. And when he arrived, the grounds were pretty crowded, and the only empty spot he could find was at the end of a table next to the Lawson family. And he took his sandwich out of the bag and began to unwrap it. The Lawsons began to spread out their feast as well. They had a warm red checkered tablecloth, heaps of fried chicken, potato salad, baked beans, sauerkraut. Oh, those beans smelled like heaven to Jeff. To top it off, Mrs. Lawson brought out 2 of the biggest chocolate cream pies Jeff had ever seen in his life. And he glanced out there at this bountiful feast and then back at his own meager meal. And then he felt a hand on his shoulder. It was Mrs. Lawson. "Why don't we pool our food," she was asking, "and we can all eat together?" "Oh, I don't think so," said Jeff. I'm not really that hungry, so I just brought a sandwich. He had his hung his head just a little bit. Oh, please, she smiled. We just love bologna. We'll cut it into pieces so everybody can enjoy it, along with some of that fried chicken and fixings and, of course, some chocolate pie. And so he came as a pauper to that picnic and stayed to feast like a king. Some people say that that's exactly what happened when Jesus fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. A miracle happened, but love happened as well. Because the reason that the loaves and the fishes were multiplied because of the caring, tender love of Jesus. He cared about the people. He cared that they not only receive word from the Bible, from him. He wanted them to receive food because they were hungry. He says in chapter 6, verse 5, he looked and saw a great crowd coming toward him, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" The focus on Jesus was to make sure that the people were okay. It's one of the great blessings that I found in our Bible school this past week, because everyone that came, for one day or for all days, did it for a singular purpose and reason: their love for children and their desire to bless them with what it is that they had to bring and to offer. And it was so touching as I dropped off the last load that I had of children down at Waldron. One of the young men who was sitting next to me in the front seat said, "I only got to come 2 nights to Bible school. I only got to come two nights. He said, "I'm going to come to all 5 nights next year." He said, "This was so much fun. Thank you." He said, "Thank you." And it was just a blessing. Another young man said, "Are you having this next week?" But Jesus cared about these people, and he knew he was going to perform a miracle, and it was a miracle that was going to bless in an amazing way. It's one of the best known stories of Jesus. It's the only miracle apart from Jesus' resurrection that is recorded in every single one of the Gospels, so we ought to get it in our minds that this is really, really important. There's a message here that should be coming through to each of us as people and as a church. And it has not only to do with the gathering of people together to hear the Word of God, it has to do with our hearts full of love to share the love of Jesus with them. Whether they need something to eat, like we provided this past week with a picnic and with, oh my goodness, they got donations. I didn't tell you they got donations of cookies from Nabisco. Maybe the kids are going to come back next year, because we had so many cookies, every night we would send them home with 13 cookies. It was easier. It was just a full package. One of the parents who came with a carload said, when they found out how many cookies they were getting, they said, "This explains the trip home." We need to study this passage. Jesus, wherever he went, was whether on boat or on foot, he just could not find any place to hide. People were always coming to him, and he was moved to compassion by the great need that they have, as we should be about our community, about the children in our community, and about the people in our community that need to know the love of Jesus that is so self-evident here. Philip is surprised by the question that Jesus asked. You wouldn't think he would be, but he is actually surprised. He actually says 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. A lot of times we think about the resources we don't have and we say, how is this possible? We have no money to feed these people. How is it going to happen? When God is involved, nothing is impossible. When God is involved, we remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When Jesus is the superhero, when he is the center of attention of everything we say and do, change and unbelievable things happen. And I'm excited that some of those things are happening and are going to happen as we enter into this new season of opportunity and ministry and blessing in September, trying to ensure that we make everyone aware of the outreach that we're going to be having to the nursing home every first Sunday of the month, and encouraging you to participate with us and be blessed by that second service that we have at Northern Manor. To join with us in the evening and invite a friend to a movie that we are going to have every second Sunday of the month. Sharing our love for one another. Lucy has popcorn. You wouldn't believe it. It all goes away before anyone sees it the next Sunday. But they're always provided for, not only a wonderful movie, but also wonderful popcorn and water. Our third Sundays, we're going to enjoy a meal not unlike the meal and the message that's coming out from Jesus' gospel today. Sharing fellowship with one another, not just food, but the ability to get to know one another more. The ability to invite people to say, come and be a part of our fellowship. We'd love you to join us for the worship time as well as the food time, but get to know us as a loving community of faith. We should not be surprised, but we are, by Philip's question. And from a human standpoint, it seems impossible to actually feed this multitude of 10,000 people, very likely, 5,000 men. It is correct from a human standpoint, this was not going to be possible. There was no BJ's back then. There was no Costco. There was no ShopRite. You couldn't send somebody over and say, use your credit card and buy as much as you can, because it still wouldn't have been enough. Somebody else, Andrew, says in our passage, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. He was willing to give what he had. Sometimes it is the little children who come to faith in Christ who are able to see the possible when we who are older can only see the impossible. We see what can happen with our own strength and with our own might. They see Jesus, who's able to do all things. The needs are great, that's true. Our resources are few, that's also true. So where does our help come from? The early church had some real difficulties. We should remember why this was a big problem. 3,000 Jews were converted there in the book of Acts. You remember? They were converted, and the church had to find a place for them. Do you want to know why? Because as soon as they came to Christ, they were kicked out of their houses. They lost their jobs. They lost the ability to eat. They had nothing. And so what did the early church do? They were seen as traitors to their families and abandoned. Acts 2:45 says, what did the people of God do? The Bible says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone in need. This was the early church, a love that was expressed in very much the same way as these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus had compassion on people. The early church had compassion on people. And the demands of Jesus on us today is that we have compassion on people as well. But we can't just do that in a disorganized way. We counted out numbers, and that helped us at Bible school so that we could not have 30 or more kids rushing the tables to get their food. Jesus wanted to have the people organized, just like we did for Bible school on Friday. So he said there was lots of grass in that place, the Bible says. And Jesus always had a plan. He didn't just have compassion, he had a plan to implement that compassion. And he tells them to sit down, he gives thanks for the loaves, and says to John, distribute. And the Bible tells us that everybody had as much as they wanted until they were full. And there were leftovers. An amazing story. Jesus feeds 10,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what happened? The people, after they saw Jesus perform this miraculous sign, began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. And John calls this event a sign. And scholars tell us that John's record of the life of Jesus was very specific in its purpose. John shares this with Jesus that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, John 20:31. John refers to every single one of the miracles of Jesus as signs. And when we see the miracles happening around us and in our church, we should see them as signs as well. The signs in John's gospel of Jesus were to show that he was Messiah. And I got to tell you, when you feed people, I have to tell you, we got wildly popular on Friday night after we told the children they could have a hot dog or a hamburger first, along with the chips and the juice, and then said, once you're finished, if you'd like a second, you may go forward. And they ate until they were full, and then they had ice cream sandwiches, took their cookies, 13 of them home, and they were full. You remember the time when Jesus changed the water into wine. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. And we must agree that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, as we look at these signs and miracles. We have to understand that by believing in him, we can have life in his name. That's why we want to reach out to children. That's why we want to reach out to our community. That's why we give money to missions, so that the message of the gospel can go forward. That's why we collected money for a coat for PJ. Those are the reasons that we do these things. Jesus saw the needs of people, and he saw their needs, and he felt compassion toward them. Now, some of you are familiar with the work of evangelical activist Jim Wallace. One time, Wallace took some scissors to his Bible. Now, this sounds really sacrilegious, but that was not his intent. What he did was, he was a seminary student at Trinity, and he and his classmates decided to eliminate a few verses from the Bible. They performed surgery on all 66 books of the Bible, beginning with Genesis and not stopping until Revelation. And every time a verse spoke to the topic of poverty, wealth, justice, or oppression, they cut it out. They wanted to see what a compassionless Bible looked like. And by the time they finished, nearly 2,000 verses lay on the floor, a book of tattered pages remaining. And what they found out was that if you cut concern for the poor out of the Bible, you cut the heart out of it. We have a message to give to the nations, and having them come to a place where they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior is an imperative for them. But that does not stop us as a church and we as people from being the hands and feet of Jesus. We need to proclaim the good news of the gospel with boldness. But in a similar way, we must live out the Jesus life with the same measure of compassion and boldness that he would if he were here. I think sometimes we are not doing a good job of either. And the Lord calls us to do a good job of both. There's a legend about Martin of Tours, who's said to be the first military chaplain. And what he did was he followed the Roman army from place to place to place, and he ministered to soldiers and to people who were in conquered places. And on a cold winter day, he was following the Roman army into a city. And there was a beggar at the gates of the city, freezing from the cold, asking for money. And he'd been in the field with soldiers for weeks. He didn't have any coins. He didn't have any food, not even a crust of bread. And so he took off the battered old Roman soldier's cloak that he had over his shoulder. And with his sword, he cut it into two pieces. One half of the cloak he gave to the beggar, the other half he kept for himself. And that night, he had a dream. He had a dream in which he found himself to be an observer of a scene in heaven. He saw Jesus surrounded by a group of angels, and to his surprise, the Lord Jesus was wearing half of that Roman soldier's cloak. One of the angels asked Jesus, "Master, where did you get that dirty and torn half of a Roman soldier's cloak?" And in the soft silence, as the angels waited for Jesus to reply, he heard Jesus say, "My good servant Martin gave it to me." Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them.
Jesus taught us that this is part of what the kingdom work is all about. You see, sometimes we can ignore people's needs. Jesus doesn't do that ever. He was moved to compassion by the needs of people. He viewed them as sheep without a shepherd, lost and helpless, without guidance, nourishment, and protection. He not only had compassion, he was moved to help them. I am so grateful. I can hardly wait. I don't want the summer to be over, don't get me wrong. But I can hardly wait till we have our packing party in fall. Gathering all of this Christmas stuff together over the course of a hot summer warms my heart, and it's going to bring the summer into the fall, because it means that we're thinking about other people when we're shopping, that we're seeing the needs of others as we prepare for a season of giving, when we can celebrate not only one another, but giving from this church to people who have nothing, who will see a pen and a pencil and a washcloth and a bar of soap as wonderful gifts that they cannot even imagine somebody would provide to them. You know, we need to have compassion. It's interesting. One day, a student asked anthropologist Margaret Mead about the earliest sign of civilization in any culture. And he expected that the answer would be, well, they'll have a clay pot, fish hook, grinding stone. You know what her answer was? Her answer was a healed femur. That's the sign, the earliest sign of civilization in a society. In a society based on hunting and gathering, a person with a fractured thigh bone would be useless. Mead explained that no healed femurs are found where the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest, reigns. A healed femur shows that someone cared. Someone had to hunt and gather for that injured person until his leg healed. Margaret Mead says the evidence of compassion is the first sign of civilization. Who can question the importance of caring for others when they are in need? Compassion certainly must be at the heart of our faith and at the heart of our ministry. It is hard for highly competitive, busy people to be compassionate. It is a dog-eat-dog world, and all we need to do is go out on the highway to see how selfish people can be and how dangerous they are to themselves and to others. Mike Barrett tells about men who were climbing, wanted to climb Mount Everest. 2006 was the year, not that long ago, and they were forced to make choices in climbing this and doing this event. He tells about a 50-year-old climber, Lincoln Hall, who was left for dead by his team and other passing climbers on the side of that treacherous mountain. But a small team led by Dan Mazur of the United States stopped to help Lincoln down from the mountain, and in the process, they saved his life. But by doing that, they gave up their only opportunity to ever climb Mount Everest for themselves. Weeks later, the guide who led the rescue told the Today Show, "We just immediately sprang into action. You have to move quickly up there. If you mess around and start thinking about what to do, he could already be gone." But this story of heroism and self-sacrifice contrasted with another less heroic story that took place only days earlier on that same mountain. 34-year-old David Sharp died after 40 climbers passed him by and refused to help him. Think of that. One climber is left for dead, but is rescued and lives. Another is left alone to die and dies. David Sharp was left to die so that other climbers could complete their ascent. It's easy to understand the motivation of those who passed him by. They invested years of hope and dreams and thousands of dollars in their bid to climb Everest. Did they want to throw all that away to help a person who might not survive anyway? I'm telling you right now, they would have if they were a true follower of Jesus. Jesus stops you in your tracks. He stops you from continuing on some journeys because he has something else for you to do. And if you stop and see the people in need and you do what Jesus wants you to do, you may not get where you wanted to go, but you will get where he wants you to be. A blog on the internet is written by someone who calls himself Chaplain Mike, the Internet Monk. And he told recently about a church in Texas that holds a community meal every Thursday night. They open their doors, invite the homeless in, and when the congregation started the meal, they didn't know how long the ministry would last, how they'd fund it. Do you know how many they started off with? About 15 or 20 showed up. Fewer than came to our Bible school this past week. And they were nervous. We were a little nervous too. You know, there were older kids that came some nights and were on their phones. Not everything went the way we wanted. A lot of people were very blessed, however. But you know what happened after 5 years? Do you know that church welcomes 200 homeless people who come from the streets every Thursday? The people of the congregation don't just feed them in soup kitchen style. They put out tablecloths, cut flowers, make delicious platters of food with identifiable meats, no mystery meat. And over the years, folks in the congregation and the homeless people of their city have become friends. One guest said, "We know the food is good because you sit down and eat it with us." After the meal, they worship around the tables. They announce this ahead of time so that those who don't feel comfortable can leave. About half of the people do. They then go to the chapel, offer communion. Maybe only 15 of the 200 stay for that. But the opportunity is always there. And today, after 5 years of doing this, 30,000 meals have been eaten around the tables of that church. And I want to tell you something, that church has never lacked the funds, small as it is, to meet the need and to bless the people that they have blessed. I tell you that sounds like something Jesus would do. And that's the point. The point of our Bible lesson today, the point of our Bible school this past week, the point of our mission and outreach as we move into the fall, the point and mission of a Bible school that is a whole year away with opportunity and promise that we ought to be praying for today and throughout the year. We shouldn't worry about resources when the God of heaven can provide them. And when the Hendels are around, there'll always be plenty of rolls from Rockland Bakery. When Jesus fed the multitude with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, there were 12 baskets left over. I challenge you. I challenge myself to act with compassion and let God provide the resources. You look out among us, we are not great in number. And yet, in a direct response to Jeff and Bethany, $700 comes from this group and still enough to fund and open our doors. We're provided with a need with PJ to provide money for a coat. Over $200 comes in. People are still contributing. People provided with an opportunity to give to Operation Christmas Child do so in generous fashion with hundreds of items coming in. This is a place where the love of Jesus is self-evident. You are a people who love the Lord enough to give of your time, your talents, your efforts, your energies, and your resources to make a difference in this church, to make a difference in this community, to make a difference in this world. And I am here to tell you this morning that I am proud to be your pastor and to work with you and lead you as we continue into this wonderful opportunity and mission field together. God bless each of you. God bless all of us as we, like Jesus, look upon the multitudes and have compassion upon them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love and for your goodness and for the way that you are leading and guiding and ministering and blessing. Oh God, I just pray today that you, by your Holy Spirit, would continue to speak to us. Thank you for your goodness, for your love, and
for your grace in Jesus' name.